of Haiti also. Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to John's Gospel, please, chapter 15. Father, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace in Haiti, God, that this storm that came that took so many lives. God, we pray that there were those that have reached, that had reached those that have perished with the gospel message of the saving power of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that the only thing that we can pray, that your the workers that you have there, the missionaries that you have there, will not only help with the physical needs, but with the spiritual needs that have to be met in that country. God, I just pray that you will just bless and have your way, and even in the midst of a storm, as we just heard, we heard that when the waters come, they won't hurt you anymore. And so, God, you have your way in the lives of those people. Draw them closer to you, I pray. Have your way, God, in our hearts this morning as we look at your word and probably talk about one of the most important things that we can ever talk about in your word today because of what you have taught us. So help us, God, to receive the word of God today in our spirits. Help us to change us more like you than we've ever have in our whole life. I give you thanks, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. It is amazing how valuable a vine can be. Grapevines, like you find in New York State, all over, you find them in parts of Northern California, we're told that they bring in over $40 billion of business a year in the United States. Americans, this past year alone, bought 267 million cases and drank 800 million gallons of its fruit, and that number increases every year. Wineries and vineyards, believe it or not, are the second most popular tourist attraction in California after Disneyland. The United States is the largest retail wine market in the world, and its industry employs over 35,000 people. Now, just as important as the economic value of this vine is, Jesus gave a spiritual value above and beyond any other plant that God ever created, because he answers maybe the greatest question of life. And I want to illustrate that by some stories that you probably have heard before. Have you heard stories where, you know, someone will go into a shopping center or whatever with a bunch of kids or, you know, with a baby? And I've read stories where they walk out of the store and they forget the kid. You ever read anything like that? That's true. They're sad, but they're true. I read one where a mother forgot her baby, and the three-year-old or four-year-old said, "Well, where's the baby?" And she forgot all about the baby. And that's really sad. And mother had to go back to the store. The police were already there and everything, and you know, all that. And you know, it maybe it was an honest mistake, but we know that it's the kind of mistake that a parent should not make. And then I thought about, there was a couple named Joseph and Mary that forgot about a boy named Jesus. And then when they left Jerusalem, didn't they leave him somewhere? How old was he? About 12? You imagine leaving a 12-year-old? But they did it. They didn't do it on purpose. But you know what? And I thought about that. I know he was about the Father's business. I know all that. But the idea is, I'm thinking our Heavenly Father, he loves us more than any mother or father could love anybody. So why does he leave us behind? Why does he leave us here? If he loves me so much, then why don't, the moment I trust Christ as my Savior and become a part of his family, why doesn't he just take me to heaven? But he doesn't. So what's the question? The question is, why does he leave us here? Or to put it another way, what is our purpose of being here? What is our purpose? Scriptures make it plain that God never does anything haphazardly. Behind everything is the purpose of God. Everything has a purpose, and there is a purpose in everything. And whether you are a Christ follower, Christian or not, you have been left here for one primary purpose. And if you don't achieve this purpose, this is going to come hard, your life will be completely wasted. Because God has you here for a purpose. What is it? I'll give you a clue. It has to do with a vine. Vines are planted, vines are cultivated, and vines are managed to do one thing and one thing only. It is the only thing that makes the branches of a vine valuable, and that is fruit. Fruit. Now, we're in the middle of a series that we've been calling I Am Who I Am, in which Jesus, I've said this and I'll say it again, he himself answers the question, who do you say that I am? And seven times in the Gospel of John, with what the biblical scholars call the seven sayings, the seven I am sayings of Jesus Christ, and where he self-identifies himself, again, like I said, not by titles or names, but by using metaphors. And so far we've learned that he's called himself the bread of life, called himself the light of the world. He's called himself the door. And last week he called himself the good shepherd. So next in this statement, he compares himself to a vine. So let's look at John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Look what it says. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. All right, here's the picture. Most likely, Jesus had just left the upper room where he had the Last Supper with his disciples. He was walking to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a garden full of vines. And actually, throughout all of Israel, vines grew abundantly everywhere. And when those vines were properly cultivated and kept, they produced grapes, which in turn were used to make wine and juice and jellies and whatever they can do with grapes. It's very important for the gardener to keep the vines trimmed so that they could bear a lot of fruit. Now, I'm going to say this over and over today because I want to drive a couple points home. Why does the gardener do this and trim the vines? Because the purpose of the branch is to bear the fruit that the vine produces. I want you to really get this. That the purpose of the branch is to bear the fruit that the vine produces. Now, in the passage that we're going to see here, there's a phrase that's repeated over and over and over again, and you really can't miss it. So follow these scriptures in your Bible, John chapter 15, beginning with verse 2, and we'll have it on the screen. I just want to read these to you. I want you to see something. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verses 15 and 16, look at it. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There are two words that are repeated in those verses time and time and time again. You know what those two words are? Bear fruit. Look over all those scriptures and you'll see it over and over. Bear fruit. So what does Jesus do? He identifies to us the players that are in this passage. God the Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. Are you with me? All right. The gardener only has one concern for the branch. He wants the branch to bear the fruit that the vine produces, and he wants the vine to produce as much fruit as it can. Okay? So the answer to the question, why has God left all of us here on this planet, and what is our number one purpose? It is to bear fruit. You got it? It's to bear fruit. And now, what is this fruit? This fruit is simply this. It is the character of Christ. When I read that definition, I said, you know what? That hit right in my heart. What kind of fruit are you talking about? It's the character of Christ. One sure sign that you are a genuine follower of Christ, a genuine Christian, in the truest sense of the word, and I'm going to give you another definition of that in a minute. Here it is, that your life is bearing fruit that others can see and others can taste. You take on the character of Jesus Christ. A Christ follower is a branch attached to Jesus, the vine. A branch only has one purpose, to bear fruit. A branch by itself has no value at all. Now, I love grapes. How many love grapes? Oh, nuts. I was going to have everyone have a Dixie cup full of grapes. I was going to do it. I even mentioned it. But I thought you probably would start throwing them across the aisle at each other. I figured, no, we can't have that. No. But I do. I love grapes. But you know what? The branch. Ever try to taste the branch? It's bad. It doesn't taste good at all. Apart from bearing fruit, the branch has no purpose at all. In other words, a branch finds its purpose and its significance in bearing fruit from the vine. All right? What the gardener desires for the branch is what God desires for you and me. What gives the branch purpose and meaning and impact is the fruit that it bears. And just as a branch can only bear fruit if it's connected to the vine, you will only find purpose and meaning in life when you have that same organic, you know, everything is organic these days. And that's why I'm using this word. Unless you have that same organic connection to Jesus Christ. So I put a little simple takeaway in your notes, and it says this: when you are connected to the root, you will bear fruit. I mean, I'm not a poet or anything like that, but that's what the message is right there, okay? Because life is all about finding the right connection. Jesus tells us in this beautiful story the way your life can have meaning and purpose and make an impact, and how you can do it every single day. So here we go. Are you ready? Number one, connect to Christ personally. Personally. Look at verse 5 in John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Even though Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, what he says here is for the benefit of all of us, of all of us, as well as the disciples. He gives perhaps the best definition. Here it is now. He gives the best definition of a Christian that you'll ever hear in all of Scripture. Because you know what? In this day and age, even the term Christian doesn't mean very much, does it? Because it has become one of the most misunderstood terms in our culture. Everybody that you talk to, oh, I'm a Christian. Here's Jesus' definition. He makes it very plain, very simple. A Christian is a person connected to Christ and bears the fruit of his character. Isn't that simple? I think I put that in your, I think I already wrote that in your notes. A Christian is a person connected to Christ and bears the fruit of his character. In other words, what makes a person a Christian is all about having the right connection. And how many times have you heard people say that the way to get ahead, or the way to get accepted, or the way to get promoted, or the way to get hired is knowing the right person, having the right connections? Now, nothing could be more accurate than finding your purpose in life, because our purpose is to bear fruit. And that only comes by being properly connected. Told you I was going to talk about connecting today. Do you realize how this makes Christianity literally the most unique faith in all the world? No other religious system offers its followers a personal union in connection with its founder. No other religion. The Buddhist does not claim to be joined to Buddha. The Confucianist does not claim to be joined to Confucius. The Muslim does not claim to be joined to Muhammad. But the follower of Christ is connected, is joined, and is a branch of Jesus Christ. We're the only ones. This is why so many people are confused about what is real Christianity. They confuse religion with relationship. There's a difference. Now, I'm going to use this. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. There's a difference between organizational connection with Jesus Christ and an organic connection with Jesus Christ. All right? Let me explain. In my ministry, in all the years I've been in ministry, I've pastored a lot of people who were connected to the church, but were not connected to Christ. And we've said this in joking through the years, that's why going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you a Mercedes. Okay? All right. There are some golf courses in Florida, and all over some of these golf courses, you will see Spanish moss. And you know what Spanish moss is? You'll see Spanish moss hanging on oak trees. See, I know I have hit most of those with my golf ball. I hate those trees. They put them on my fairway. And why do they do that? Right, Pastor Tony? I mean, come on. All right. But you see, you can walk up to one of these trees and a low-hanging branch and reach up and just grab some of this Spanish moss right off the tree. Spanish moss is hanging on the tree, but it is not organically connected to the tree. It's not. Well, what does it have to do with this? Jesus had Spanish moss hanging on him. His name was Judas. Of the 12 disciples, Jesus had 11 that were genuine branches. They were connected to him. But Judas was just Spanish moss. He hung around Jesus, but he never had a personal relationship with Jesus. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you know, this is a good question to ask yourself periodically. Ask yourself, when people look at me, do they see a religion or do they see a relationship? See, you can attend church, you can join a church, you can be baptized in the church, but you will not become a fruit-bearing branch until you are connected to Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said in verse 5, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." Can do nothing. See, there's a lot of things that you can do without Christ, such as you can earn a living, you can raise a family, you can do good deeds, you can attend church, you can win awards, you can become famous. But there's one thing that you cannot do without Jesus. You cannot live the life you ought to live and be the person that you ought to be apart from being connected to Christ. Okay? Remember, even though the branch bears the fruit, it does not produce fruit. So the first step for you and me to be fruitful, to find our purpose and our meaning, is to make sure that we have that personal connection with Jesus Christ. And after you connect to Christ personally, then you can take the next step. Okay? The next step is to concentrate. Concentrate on Christ exclusively. Look at verse 4, how we concentrate on him exclusively. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. So Jesus reiterates that Christianity is all about a you and me relationship. That's what it's about. It's about a you and me relationship. If the branch wants to be fruitful and achieve its purpose, the only thing that it has to do is concentrate exclusively on its relationship with the vine. Remember, God's number one concern for us is the same concern a gardener has for his vine and its branches. He wants us to be fruitful. God the Father wants us to bear the fruit of the character of his Son. And I know this. I know this for simple reasons. Fruit always reflects the character of the tree or the vine from which it is connected. Isn't that true? You're going apple picking. When you go to the apple tree, what will you find? Are we awake here this morning? When you go to the apple tree, you're not going to find watermelons. If you go to a pear tree, you're going to find pears, right? Grapevines are designed to produce grapes. And a follower of Jesus Christ is to produce the character of Christ in which he is connected. So if you're connected to Christ, you're going to produce the character of Christ. So keep in mind that the gardener's number one concern for the branch is not just to bear fruit, but to bear the most fruit it possibly can. His job is to maximize production. That's what the gardener's job is. So you're going to notice how Jesus, when he's explaining this, he takes a progression in this matter about bearing fruit. And just follow these verses with me. First, he talks about a branch that doesn't bear fruit. Any fruit, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Then he talks about a branch that bears some fruit. Verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Then he talks about a branch that bears more fruit. In verse 2, that it might bear more fruit. Then he talks about a branch that bears much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then finally, he talks about a branch that bears the best fruit. You find it in verse 15 and 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide or remain so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is the fruit that lasts. This is the fruit that won't rot. It just continues to ripen. What Jesus is saying is this. The more faithful you are to Christ, the more fruitful you will be for Christ. And I put that in your notes because I want you to remember these things. The more faithful you are to Christ, the more fruitful you will be for Christ. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not bearing any fruit because you're not even a branch. You are not even attached to the vine. But once you decide to become a follower of Christ and you decide to become that branch, from that moment on, you enter into literally a lifelong process where your heavenly Father, as a loving gardener, is going to do everything he can to maximize the fruit in your life. And he does it the same way a gardener does it. A gardener does two things with the vine to maximize production. I'm going to talk to you about two things. And the first thing that I'm going to talk to you about has a lot of theological discrepancies with it, And I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm going to present a couple things. But the first thing the first thing that the gardener will do is he'll continually position the vine in a way to receive the most sunlight so it can bear the most fruit. Okay? Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He takes away. Again, there's a theological debate on this whole issue. There's some say that it better translated that he does something else with it. And some say that this is the passage that is he talking about eternal security here or what? And here's I actually wrote this morning because all of a sudden this came to me this morning. But many people, they endlessly debate about the issue of eternal security. Can you lose your salvation once you're a child of God? If you read verse 6 of John 15, and they don't even have it on the screen. I don't think they have it, but I didn't even give it to them. I just wrote this. It's one of the passages that seems to indicate the possibility that you can lose your salvation. It seemed to indicate that. But it doesn't make me insecure at all. I intend to always abide in him. This whole thing is about, we're going to talk about that in a minute. This whole thing is about abiding in him. And I always intend to abide in him. Why would I ever want to cease to abide in Jesus? If I abide in him, it says I live a life of fruitfulness. If I abide in him, he answers my prayers. If I abide in him, I abide in his love. If I abide in him, my joy is full. I am eternally secure as long as I abide in him. And I'm going to do just that. And I'm going to leave the arguments to the theologians. Okay? So I'm not going to argue with you. All right? But the gardener has to do something. He has to position the grapes or whatever to receive the most sun so that it will produce the most, okay? That's what it's all about. And this is what God does with us so many times. Well, God is trying to pick us up. He's trying to bring us to a point. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, when we're down, he doesn't want to just destroy us when we're down. He wants to pick us up. He wants to say, come on, you can do this. All right, you fell, but you're not out. Come on, do this. Come on, abide in me. And that Holy Spirit is constantly, constantly bringing, come closer to Jesus. Come closer. That's what his job is, to reveal Christ. And he'll do it in so many different ways. He'll send people to encourage you when you're down. He'll answer a prayer that you thought was impossible. And he'll try to always bring himself front and center and say, this is what I'm about. This is really what I'm about. You know, I'll provide a way for you when you thought the situation was just inescapable. Or he'll solve a problem for you that you thought was insurmountable. And all this time, he's trying to position you. He's trying to put you in a place where you can be most fruitful. Okay? That's one thing that the gardener does. He positions the grapes, the vine, the branches. The second thing he does to maximize the branch is by pruning. Oh, we all love pruning, don't we? Look at what it says in verse 2 again. And every branch that does not bear fruit, that does bear fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. See, sometimes branches have growing into them what are called, they call sucker shoots. They're called sucker shoots. These are tiny little shoots that appear exactly where the vine and the branch intersect, and they begin to suck the sap from the vine that ought to go to the branches, but they suck the sap away from the branch, and it goes into the sucker shoot. If sucker shoots are not pruned and cut away, the branch becomes malnourished and it won't bear fruit. So the gardener will take his shears or his scissors and very carefully but firmly he'll cut away anything that will impede the ability of that branch to do what it was designed to do, which is to bear fruit. Okay? And sometimes God uses different kinds of shears, doesn't he? Different kinds of scissors, different kinds of circumstances, because he wants to draw the good sap to go in, not into the sucker shoots, but into the branch so that we can bear fruit. And sometimes he'll use crazy things. He'll use tough times. He might use difficulties and heartaches and all kinds of things, trying to cut away the sucker shoots from our lives that are sucking the sap out of the vine, keeping us from bearing fruit. Sometimes, if you listen, you can even hear the scissors cutting sometimes. You know? Maybe a spouse that walked out on you, or maybe a rebellious child that left home or something. Too often we get bitter. We get angry because we fail to realize that what God is doing is cutting away our arrogance and our pride and our tendency to depend on everything except Him. And to be who we ought to be and do what we ought to do. And God is dealing with our arrogance and our pride. And He says, I want you to depend on me. I'm the vine. You're only the branches. Sometimes He uses Scripture, the scissors, the shears of Scripture. Listen to verse 3. He says, verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The word clean in verse 3 is the same word for prune in verse 2. You read your Bible and you get convicted of something that you have been doing that you need to stop. Or you get challenged with something that you haven't been doing that you need to start. See, God is simply cutting away the bad so it doesn't get in the way of the good. And He even goes deeper and cuts out some of the good so it doesn't get in the way of the best. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you already know. Pruning is painful. I got one hand raised. The only one that knows how painful pruning is. Pruning hurts. Pruning cuts. But remember this. Whenever the gardener is pruning the branch, it's because he considers the branch important. And he wants to maximize the fruit, the fruitfulness of that branch. We get the idea sometimes that when troubles come and trials come and heartaches come and difficulties come, they're signs that God doesn't care for us. When in reality, that there are signs, they are signs that God does care for us. God is the master gardener. And He loves us so much that He will never allow anything to come into your life that He hasn't designed to be used as a means of making you the most fruitful you can be. And giving you the opportunity to live the most impactful life that you can. Remember this. The hand of the gardener is never closer to the branch than when he's pruning it. The hand of the gardener is closest to you when you're being pruned. Do you want to be everything that you want to be? Do you want to do everything that you want to do? Do you want to come to the end of your life minimizing your regrets and maximizing your rejoicing? Then you concentrate on Christ exclusively and you connect to Him personally. When you do those things, then you're ready to take the last step. And there it is, verse 4. Continue in Christ daily. Continue. There's only one command that's given in this entire passage of Scripture. It's found repeatedly the first time we see it in verse 4, he says, abide in me. The word abide simply means remain or continue. All it simply means is every day we are to continually make Jesus Christ the center of our thoughts, the focus of our life, and the passion of our hearts. Listen, the only time a branch will not bear fruit is if something is blocking its connection to the vine. That's the only time you won't bear fruit. Something will be blocking your connection to the vine. You cannot force a branch to produce fruit. You cannot command a branch to produce fruit. That's why nowhere do you find Jesus ever telling us to go out and produce fruit. Our job is not to produce the fruit. Our job is to bear the fruit. The way you bear the fruit is by staying connected to the vine. That's why Jesus says it seven times. He says it seven times. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10. He says, abide, 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 abide. He says it seven times. Do you get the picture? You can't make fruit. You can't manufacture fruit, and you can't manipulate fruit. All you can do is bear fruit. And the way you do that is just staying connected to the vine. Stay close to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. How many know how to make a cup of hot tea? All right. If you ever made a cup of hot tea, you know what I'm about to say. When you put the tea bag in a cup of hot water, the longer the tea bag abides, the longer the tea bag remains in that water, the more that water will take on the color and the taste of the tea. Is that right? If you want the tea to be stronger, you just leave the bag in a little longer. That's what happens to us every day when we abide in Christ. Just remain in Christ. We begin to take on the color of his character, and we begin to take on the flavor of his life. That's what this whole thing is about. If you abide in him, and you stay there, and you go there every day, you'll start to take, your color will change into the character of Christ, and your flavor will change, and it'll start to reflect him even more. So I have an assignment for you today. Here it is. You abide in Christ by simply taking the tea bag of your life and soak it in the hot water of his word. That's your assignment. The tea bag of your life, soak it in the hot water of his word. Let him talk to you as you study the Bible. Spend time with him, talking with him in your prayers. That's what abiding means. I'm going to bring this to a close. I'll let the worship team, why don't you come up now? Do you ever hear the expression, stop, look, and listen? You ever hear that? That's what I want you to do. Stop, look, and listen. Stop and take the time out of your daily routine. Stop. Do something with the Bible. Look into his word and then listen to what he says to you. The more you maximize your connection to Christ, the more he will multiply his fruit through you. Again, the branch does not produce fruit for the vine, but the branch bears the fruit produced by the vine. The mark of every true believer, every true follower of Christ, is fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. Not by how much money you give, not by how many times you came, not by what. By their fruit you will know them. There is no such thing. That's why there's no such teaching of Jesus as a non-fruit-bearing believer. There's no such thing. The Christian life is a fruit-bearing life. You know why this is so important? You know why you need to understand this? If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, and the reason you said to yourself, I can't live a Christian life. It's too hard. You know what? You're half right. You're half right. You can't live a Christian life. Not because it's too hard, but because it's impossible. It's impossible. Only one person has ever lived the Christian life, and that was Jesus Christ. But Jesus gave his life for us so that he could live his life through us. And when you are connected to the root, you will bear the fruit that will never rot, but will only ripen into a life worth living. Why? Because you have the right connection. Amen? Do you see the picture? He wants you to be connected to him. That's the right connection. That's when your life will be fulfilled. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. What you ask the Father in my name, I will do it for you. You want your prayers answered? Well, let's try to do it God's way. If you're here today and maybe you're just, maybe you're Spanish moss. And I want you to be attached to the vine. I want you to be, there's so many scriptures, there's so many ways you can go with this. You know, we're grafted into this vine. We're Gentiles. But we're grafted into this incredible vine called Jesus Christ and his salvation. But maybe you've been Spanish moss for a while, just hanging around Jesus, but not connected. Why don't you get connected today in a greater way than you've ever had? And I'm not going to let any of them sucker shoots take what God wants to give me. I want that staff to come. I want that Holy Spirit to come and flow right directly into my branch. I want my branch to be full of fruit. I want that for you today. So let's all stand together. If you're here today and you're just at the point where you don't know, well then don't leave here. We'll be here as long as we need to be. We'll pray with you. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're not even a branch yet, why don't you become a branch today? We pray that God will speak to your heart, that the Holy Spirit in some way has spoken to you, that if you never receive the salvation that he offers you, you'll say, today is my day. I'm not going to be no Spanish moss. I want to be a branch. I want to be a branch that produces much fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ.